Good morning, everybody. You're here with me, Lori the Love Sherpa, once again on this beautifully cloudy Monday morning, at least where I am, on 1-2 Radio. It is 10:04 a.m. on the west coast of the United States in California, and it is, today's date is Monday, July 21st, 2025. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you again. I feel like this week went really fast. I feel like it was a lot less than a week that we were all here together last time. But it isn't. Time is weird now. I noticed yesterday when I was getting ready to go to my open pole class that I knew I had 20 minutes left before I had to leave, and the last 20 minutes, like, every time I looked down, it seemed like no time had passed. Every time I looked down at my clock, or my phone, which is where my clock is nowadays, that's how I get my time. But it just seemed like the time was moving so slowly. It seemed like 15 minutes had gone by and barely 5 minutes had gone by. It was so strange. And it dragged on like that for about 20 minutes. I'm not even kidding. But it was good because I wasn't ready to leave the house. So, as you are very well aware, I am not the timeliest person. I'm usually running a few minutes late, no matter what I'm doing. Which I have tried to get better at. And I'm actually better than I used to be. So it's a good thing I'm actually a couple minutes late, not like 15 minutes late or longer. But yesterday I was very late to my class. But it's okay because the class is an hour long. And I do like to get there on time because, of course, then you have more time to practice and dance. But honestly, for open pole, when I'm doing a lot of pole work, which is, you know, requires a lot of strength and energy, sometimes I'm just tired on Sunday. But I go anyway because I don't do a lot of actual strength work when I'm in my other class. I'm mostly dancing and, you know, kind of rolling around on the floor sometimes. And so, excuse me one sec. So on Sundays, I take the day for actual strength work with the pole, and, you know, like climbing and doing strength moves of all kinds, and doing all kinds of tricks. And so I just, sometimes I have the energy and sometimes I'm just, you know, I'm just sliding on the pole down to the floor. It's really not that deep. It's kind of funny, but yesterday didn't have a whole lot of energy. So I only needed about a half hour, and that's about what I got, so that was fine. But today, let me tell you all how to get into the Facebook chat so that you can chat with me and ask me questions and, you know, tell me anything that's on your mind, which I definitely want to hear. The way you go over to the Facebook chat is you go to your computer or your device and just type in 12radio.com. Like 12radio.com. I'm doing it as we speak. And that will take you onto a page with some options on the left side. And one of those options is chat. So just hit chat. And that will take you over into our 1-2 Radio Facebook page. And just scroll down slightly and you'll see my banner. And if you are new here, you can just join the group, and Serena, my wonderful producer, will let you in. And you don't have to answer a whole lot of questions. And if you do, they're very easy. Shell, you're right in time for the lawn guy. He's outside right now. I don't know if you can hear him. She goes, I'm ready for the lawn guy and your soothing voice. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's one thing I've always appreciated is my voice. I get a lot of compliments on my voice, and I appreciate them very much. My mom also had a really nice voice, so pretty sure I get it from her. Hey, Jean. Jean says, hi, Lori. Hope you and yours are well. Been crazy here in the North Country. Could I please have a reading? Thank you. Yes, you certainly may. Hey, Renee. She says, hi. I just got her little gift there. Hey, Joni. She says, hi, Lori. Yay to hearing you today. I'd love a card. I'm open. Awesome. She'll do that then. Oh, Shell, you're funny. Shell put a picture of Kermit the Frog pole dancing. That's really funny. Oh my goodness. That's very funny, Shell. Oh man. Okay, Shell. This girl would love a card. Life has been very dark lately. Ah, I'm sorry to hear that. But I will pull a card. I'll pull three cards. One for Shell, one for Joni, and one for Jean. Hey, Andrea. My friend Andrea's on the line. She says, I'm listening, my dear. I'm so happy to hear that. It's so nice to see you here. Okay, so let's go and pull those cards first, since there are three of you who asked for them, and I don't want to run out of time. Whoops. As I almost spill all the cards out over onto the floor. Okay. Let me shuffle them. First card. And again, you know, I'm here. I have skills of all kinds. So if you have questions, put them in the chat. If you have comments, put it in the chat. If you, whatever you've got for me, just put it in the chat, whatever you want me to know. Excuse me. Okay. So this card is for Jean. And if this card should resonate for you by any chance, any of the cards that I pull, if you feel like they resonate for you, then they're for you too. Because that happens quite often, that we pull cards and they're not just for the person for whom they are being pulled. They are for other people as well. And you will know that if you resonate with the card. So the card I pulled for you, Jean, is the Goddess of Awakening. This is a wondrous time of exploration, romance, and creativity. Wow. And the picture on this card is really beautiful. It's of the top half of a nude woman with stars and light shining down on her. And I'm reading from the Angels, Gods, and Goddesses deck. So let's see what the Goddess of Awakening has for you, Jean. I'm just looking it up. I don't have these committed to memory because they're a lot. Okay. Regardless of whether you are male or female, your feminine creative spirit is being nourished and awakened by the Star of Venus. The Goddess of Love is activating your sensuous nature. Romance is in the air, so surround yourself with flowers and crystals. Wear your favorite perfume or essential oil, and allow your inner charms to surface. This is a wondrous time of exploration, romance, fun, and creativity. A new romance is about to blossom, or an existing relationship is about to enter a period of renewed magic, excitement, and enchantment. Either way, this period of renewed romance will eventually lead you to explore a new creative venture with your partner. Enjoy. Oh, I definitely feel like that card resonated with more than one person. I definitely do. And I won't say who, unless they decide to tell me. Okay. Start putting that back in the deck. And let's pull a card next for Joni. And I'm also here as a, not only a spiritual advisor, but definitely that, also a spiritual psychology practitioner, which means it's kind of a combination of spirituality and psychology. Not kind of, it definitely is. Excuse me. And I also love talking about the masculine and feminine dynamics. I love talking about sexuality. I love talking about life in general, you know? If you have any issues that you're dealing with right now, lay it on me, and I will give you some guidance. I am a 3-5 projector, a 3-5 splenic projector, if you know what that means, in human design. And part of what that means is I am a natural guide, and I can see into people and see things about them that, you know, maybe not everyone can. And that's just what being a projector is about. I'm not trying to, like, blow my own horn. That's literally what it is. And so there are things that I will know about people that they may not even admit to themselves, honestly. Someone told me that recently. They said, I know them better than they know themselves, which, you know, I don't want to take away anyone's sovereignty by saying that. But I do see things. I do see things. I don't think that anyone doesn't actually know themselves, although we can go through things in our lives that can create a smoke screen. So there are things that sometimes we don't see about ourselves that other people do see. So it's kind of like that. Like, you might not see the motives, you know, your motivation behind why you behave the way you do or why you're feeling a certain way. And that's what I'll more than likely be able to see in someone else. I'll be able to kind of excavate, like, what it is, if it's something that doesn't feel like it's fully known to you. So that's kind of what it's about. So the card I pulled for Eugene is the Goddess of the Unknown. It says, a new chapter of your life is around the corner. Remove fear and embrace the unknown. Okay. Flip that up. Goddess of the Unknown. Only through the darkness of night are we able to see the beautiful tapestry of light which stems from the stars above us. This card is here to help you ease your fears about the future and of the unknown. Even though you presently cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, you are being urged by the goddess. You are always on the right path, even when you think you've strayed completely off it. A major chapter in the story of your life has recently come to a close, and an exciting new chapter is about to begin. Through the current emptiness, the seeds of a fertile new future sprout through. Soon, you will see the light shining as brightly as ever. That's for you, Jean. If anybody has any thoughts on any of these card readings, I would love to hear it, or feedback of any kind. If not, that's okay too. But I always kind of like to know how the cards resonate for you guys. For you guys and gals. And I know that Fel would like a card, so I'm going to pull a card for you, Shel. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking kind of softly today, and I probably am. I need to speak up because radio doesn't do well with low voices. I want you to hear me. Let's do this again. I'm just shuffling. You know, that's really exciting for radio. Listening to me shuffle. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, I pulled the Goddess of Awakening again. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if you heard that. Did you hear it? I just pulled the Goddess of Awakening shell. So I hope you were listening because it's the same card. Okay. Let me pull another one for you since it's the same. And I do believe that one was for you. But I will pull another one for you. Because I feel called to. I've been doing that a lot lately, pulling the same cards. And I'm shuffling, so it's not that I'm not. It's just, they keep coming up. Okay. I have another card for you, Shell. Okay, the Angel of Vision. Yeah, someone is not revealing part of the story. Trust your feelings over what others say. I think that's pretty accurate, Shell. Angel of Vision. I can feel that. Feel that accuracy for you. Goodness, there are a lot of angels in here. Okay. Okay. The Angel of Vision has appeared in your reading today to help you to see through a particular situation that is affecting your life at present. There is more to the current situation than meets the eye. But I think you already knew that. The person or people involved are hiding part of the truth and are not revealing the full story. Do not rely on what you are shown or told. Rather, start to pay attention to your intuition. What is your gut feeling regarding this present event? Ask your angel of vision to help you. Trust your feelings and natural instincts instead of relying on what others say. All will be revealed through the light of love, and the current stream of events will turn in your favor. Yay. Okay. And that was for you, Shell. All right. Let me go back and refresh the chat and see if any of you have any other questions or anything that you would like to share with me. I would really love to feel into a question if anybody has one. I would really, really love that. Okay. So going back to the chat. Wow. A whole bunch of you came in when I wasn't looking. All right. And we're having plenty of the lawn guy outside. He's off in the background. Thank goodness he's not right outside my window. Andrea, you're cute. She's got a waving doggy. And Shell says, hey, Serena. Serena's off doing her magic. She was there. There were some things going on with the technology because, you know, Mercury retrograde and all. So she's busy doing the vaccine stuff. All right. Oh, Andrea. Andrea says, miss you much. Good to hear your soothing voice. Thank you so much. That was so sweet. I miss you too. I know. That you have a lot of big life changes lately, and they're all good. But change is still change, right? Even when it's good, it takes time to get used to it. Hey, Quelly, she says blessings, Lori. It's good to see you here. I'm so happy you're all here with me. Thank you so much. Ah, okay. So I'm gonna say, is it Job or Job? I want to say Job because that's a biblical name, right? So Job is here with us. And if it's not Job, tell me, please, because I don't want to say it wrong. He says, finally listening live stream, live for the first time. Always busy, but listening on replay or on demand. Just wanted to say hi. Hello to you, too. And thank you for listening. And thank you for being here in the chat. I really appreciate it. I always like seeing new people in the chat. I always like seeing everybody in the chat, whether you're new or you've been here a while. Oh, Shell says, I do hear the long guy. So it's not just me. yeah, thankfully it's not too loud, but I definitely hear him. And anyway, hopefully it doesn't usually show up on the replay, which is interesting. I think it's louder when we listen to it live. When I'm live, I should say. Hey, Ryan, good to see you. He says, yes, card one was fun, Lori. It echoes the second card you pulled for me last week, which encouraged me to take pleasure in all the things I do. That triggered some guilt and shame in me, which is likely a common pattern for others too. Any more context you can provide on allowing and feeling worthy of pleasure? Absolutely. So it's interesting, Ryan, that you say it triggered guilt and shame. And I don't think that's an uncommon sentiment for a lot of people. I think that we are also programmed, or, you know, we have been. As children, we've had experiences that have shaped us and that have created a lot of guilt and shame in our bodies. And our bodies hold on to that. I'm still here, guys. I'm just vibing. It is a very common pattern for a lot of people. You're right. So wherever it came from, and wherever there's guilt and shame, first of all, it's one of the reasons we're here, to learn the lesson of how to transmute that into pleasure. Okay. And so the basic reason why people feel guilt and shame is because, like I said, experiences that have happened to them that shape them. But there's an underlying reason, and what that is a lack of worthiness. It's just not feeling worthy of whatever, you know, of something, not feeling deserving, not feeling worthy. And everyone has that to some degree. I'm going to say every single person, unless you come in coded. Everyone has different coding. Like my friend Kat was telling me this just last week, and it makes perfect sense. Everyone has different coding. You come in with gifts. You come in with knowledge. You come in with your own coding. You come in with shame, honestly, because you want to learn how to transmute that. So everyone comes in differently. Some of us have a lot of shame. Some of us have very little shame. And it's just like a natural, organic thing. Excuse me. However, doesn't mean you have to hang on to it. You just have to learn how to, like I said, transmute it and release it. And the way to do that, the way to transmute anything in your body, three very good ways are movement, breath, and sound. And also, there are many other tools besides those. Those are really good for getting it out of your body at any given point. And the tools that we use to know that we actually are worthy and not feel guilty about feeling pleasure is to know that if you are in a human body and you have had the miracle of being a spirit come to earth in a human body, and you've been given the ability to learn the lessons that we're here to learn, you are infinitely worthy of all the good things, everything that is a true desire for you. And it's interesting because some people think, well, you know, no one deserves anything in particular. That's not true. That's not true at all. You are entitled to miracles. And it says that in A Course in Miracles, I am entitled to miracles. So that means, Ryan, that you are entitled to miracles just by virtue of being a human being, which is the physicality of you, but you are deserving of good things simply by virtue of being a spiritual being in a human body. And if you weren't deserving, you actually wouldn't be here. So you are here and having these desires. You're not having them randomly. You want to experience pleasure and not feel guilty about it, because those desires that you're having to experience pleasure have been put there by spirit. Spirit is the one who wants to experience pleasure through your physicality, because you, in fact, are the Christ consciousness. You are the energy of spirit. So whenever we experience anything, it's an expansion of spirit. It's an expansion of the universe. It helps us all to expand to a higher vibration, a higher consciousness, because we're all connected. So that's why when one person's energy and one person's consciousness rises, we all rise somewhat. You know, we have an effect on each other. And so my coding, I was getting around back to this, my own personal coding is that I somehow was born feeling very mostly worthy and deserving of good things. Maybe because I'm a Capricorn, maybe that's, you know, part of my coding there. But it's just something very innate within me where I feel like, yes, I deserve good things. I deserve to enjoy. I deserve pleasure. I also know that I'm a good person. I'm doing the best I can. And I feel like anybody listening to me right now is probably the same way, is probably doing the best they can, trying to be a good person, helping other people. And I mean, if you're walking your path in a kind and, you know, most of the time, I mean, we're human, we're gonna occasionally not be perfect people. We're not supposed to be perfect, right? We're learning. But if you have a good heart and you have the intention that you want to make things better for everyone, I mean, that's one reason you might be deserving. Although, I think it's a good reason. I don't think that's the only reason. I do think it makes you maybe more deserving than someone who's not trying to help people or not trying to be a good person. You know, if somebody's being a real jackass, you know, does that make them less deserving? I don't know, maybe. But I guess that's for spirit to decide. That's not up to me to decide. And I do feel that even though we're not perfect, we're human, we're learning. And once we realize that maybe we screwed up somehow, that we were still doing the best we could in that moment from our level of consciousness at that moment. So should we have to deal with karma? Well, yeah, karma is a thing. But it doesn't mean we're not deserving of pleasure. Karma is just a bunch of lessons, honestly. That's how I look at it. And it's why we came here. We don't want to incur a lot of, you know, negative karma necessarily, but we're human. We're not going to be perfect people, and we're going to have to deal with some things. However, I don't feel like it makes us less deserving and less worthy. That is unchangeable. You are a child of God. You are Christ consciousness. Would you say that Christ was undeserving or unworthy? I don't think so. So that, by its very nature, means that you are entitled to experience as much pleasure as you can possibly hold. So, and people will say, like, you know, someone had a question last week about how can I experience pleasure and enjoy good things when I know someone else is suffering? Well, everybody has their individual journey. Each individual's experience is solely their own. And it doesn't reflect on you. It's what they chose to come in and experience. And that looks pretty dark at times. But it is, in fact, what their soul wanted to experience. And there is always a redemption, a way out, a path forward. My goodness, they are being very noisy out there today. I am so sorry. Let me take some water. I need a drink. Not that kind of drink. So funny, just as I said that, he like turned his motor down. And now it's back up again. Okay. Anyway, it's a very deeply ingrained thing, the unworthy piece. But if you know that you are doing the best you can in any given moment from your level of consciousness at that moment, you start to realize that even if you think you really fucked up, you know, even if you think you really made a terrible mistake and were like the worst person in the world and did something so horrible. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. It does. You know, people do terrible things. But still, from a soul's point of view, you are actually doing, in your humanness, the best you know how to do from your level of consciousness in that moment. Your consciousness may be really, really low in that moment. Maybe you were in despair. Maybe you were really, really angry. That's a very low level consciousness. Despair, that's like the worst. That's the lowest you can be. Anger is pretty low too. It's higher than despair because at least you have some wiggle room and some ability to, you know, rise. But sometimes it's not easy, right? When you're angry, it's often not easy to get to make that jump all the way up to enlightenment. It's really, really impossible. But you could go a few steps higher to hope, right? Or love, even if you want to go even higher, you could get a little bit higher. Love is a pretty high jump. A lot of people can't make that jump from anger to love. Not instantaneously. It takes baby steps. But you can do it, you know, and it doesn't take that long sometimes. It's just like Abraham Hicks says, you know, go neutral. You can't make the jump from extremely happy or extremely sad to extremely happy in 1 second, usually. But you can go neutral. And you can talk yourself into it. And I actually love a lot of the Abraham Hicks tools. That's one of the first things I learned on my path in spirituality. And they still stand true today. You know, you talk yourself down off the ledge, however you're feeling. And if you're feeling unworthy, that's not a super high vibration. But in that moment where you're feeling like you can't enjoy pleasure, remind yourself of who you really are. Remind yourself that no matter what you've done, I look at it this way. If you've done something shitty, would you do it again? Or would you change your behavior? That in itself is going to tell you something. If you wouldn't do that thing again, if you're really sorry you did it, then you've learned. And that's all that life and spirit is asking of us, is that we learn the lesson that we came here to learn. And that's how we do it. So as far as experiencing pleasure, increasing your havingness level is really important. And a lot of us, when I say increasing your havingness, it's your ability to receive. And your havingness level, that was something I learned at Mama Gina's School of Womanly Arts, one of the many trainings I've taken. And she coined that phrase. It's you know, the ability to have more havingness. It's not actually a word, but we made it one, or she made it one. But that's basically your ability to receive. And if you're feeling like it's troublesome for you to receive pleasure, then that's just an inability to receive. And You just have to increase your level. And to do that, you can do small things that show the universe that you believe that you are worthy of receiving. You can treat yourself well in whatever way that means for you. And don't feel bad about doing it because someone else is having a hard time, because like I said, everyone's experience is their own. And you are only responsible for you. I mean, yes, we have responsibility to other people, but as far as our soul lessons, you are responsible for no one else's lessons. You're responsible for your own experience. You can create a better experience for other people and help them when that resonates and when you're called to and when there's an inspiration to do so. But you can't enable, I mean, you can. You can certainly try. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But it's probably not a good idea to enable other people if, you know, they can't pull themselves up. Because if you're enabling them, they don't have to work their own muscles to pull themselves up. And it's really important that we let other people get strong, you know, find their own strength, find their own power. And help them do that, but not enable them to do it. A handout is different than a hand up. You know, you've heard that. You can give someone, like, you can give someone a hand and help them up without completely taking, you know, the responsibility of, like, lifting them and doing all the work yourself so they don't have to do anything. Because that's not how we build strength. And we're not here to learn someone else's life lessons for them. They have to learn them. So feel free to enjoy the pleasure that is meant to be yours, because if you're wanting anything, you know, you're desiring to feel good. You only want that because Spirit wants that for you. And Spirit wants to feel that through you, like I said earlier. So let it not create more guilt or shame in your body. And I'm sorry that it had that effect on you, Ryan. I really am. Because my words can be confronting. My words can be triggering. I know that. And they are always said with love, always. And if there was a trigger there, it was just because, you know, obviously there is that wound in you and in a lot of people. You're not alone. And it needs to be looked at. So that's what happens when we get any kind of a trigger at all. You know, and we've discussed this. When you feel that, like, knife to the heart moment, and you feel triggered or upset by anything, always know that it's not a bad thing. It's just something that you want to look at and you want to heal. And the way to heal it is by applying love. Wherever there is fear or hurt, it can always be fixed by applying love to the wound. And in whatever way that means for you, taking good care of yourself, not abusing your body, getting enough sleep, getting good food, just doing the things that keep you healthy and well. You know, maybe there's something that you've wanted for a while and you've been denying yourself, whatever it is, whether it's something you can buy or if it's something, you know, that you just wanted to, like, go to the beach and you just weren't making time for it. Whatever the desire is, it was put there by God and it is for you. Do not feel guilty about doing it because it is meant to be yours and you are meant to have it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be desiring it in the first place. And I don't mean that necessarily with, like, specific people, although sometimes that can be the case. Like if you're desiring I know there's a lot of talk about this with manifesting teachers. When you're desiring your significant other, your specific person, it's not always the specific person, even though you think it is that you might want. It can often just be the desire for a correct person in your life who may not be there. So it's more a feeling. Whatever we desire it because, like Abraham says, we think we're going to feel better in the having of it. And that's always the case. There's nothing we want for any other reason other than we think we're going to feel better when we have it. And we think we're going to be happier when we have it. And so we're going for the feeling often more than the thing or the person. And I hope that makes sense because that's actually true. So if you're having a desire, get into the feeling of having whatever that desire is. Whatever you're desiring, get into the feeling of already having it. And this is, you know, Neville Goddard teaches, the feeling is the secret. Get into the feeling state of having what you desire, having what you want. Because when you're in a place of wanting, all that tells the universe is that I want it, and I don't have it. The wanting is going to keep you wanting. But getting into the feeling state of already having your desire, you're going to feel like you already have it because you know how it feels. When you don't have money, can you get into the feeling state of having money and how it feels to have money? Sure, I think you can. It's helpful if you've already had money and you already know how it feels, but even if you didn't, you can still get into the state of feeling, gee, what would that be like to have, you know, a really good amount of money where I can relax, I don't have to worry, I can provide for myself and my family really well, I can buy a beautiful home, I can buy a beautiful car, I can go to the grocery store and buy anything that tickles my fancy. I don't have to worry about the price. I can buy as many eggs as I want. I was thinking about this the other day, so this came up. I was like, wow, eggs are really expensive. And I am grateful that I can buy these eggs. I am grateful that I can buy these eggs. And, you know, not really worry too much about how much they cost. Thank goodness. I'm grateful. And if you can't do that, get into the feeling place where you can. Because honestly, that's how I've gotten just about, well, many, many, many things that I have now. When I didn't have them, I got into the feeling place of having them, and that's what got me here. I swear. I kid you not. It works. So anyhow, I know that was kind of roundabout, but I hope that offered some insight, because it's such a deeply ingrained thing, you know, that feeling of unworthiness. And I think we're really born with it sometimes, a lot of us. And we all feel that way in some way. There's some part of our life where we don't feel worthy. And we have to work on that because that's a wound. That's just a wound that needs to be healed. And applying love and care to that wound will help it heal. And that's really about loving yourself, knowing that you are a soul. You are much greater than this human physical body that we see in front of us. And maybe your human doesn't feel worthy sometimes, but you know what? Your soul does. And that's what matters, because that's who you really are. Someday this body is not going to be here, but your soul always will. And your soul is always worthy. And the soul wants you to have that desire. And that makes you worthy. So I hope that's helpful. And if you need something else, Ryan, let me know. And I'll go even further. I can go on all day long, believe me. I love to talk about all of this. I especially love talking about receiving, honestly. But anything spiritual, I am. Anything spiritual, anything, you know, any problems that you're having, truly, I am here for it. I love helping people solve their problems. I just do. It's like what I'm made for, truly. In the way that I'm designed, you know, I can't help you necessarily, you know, move house. I'm really not good at lifting boxes, but that's for someone else. It's not for me to do. Okay. Okay. Ryan also appreciates your pole dancing Kermit shell. Okay, let me see. I see lots and lots of comments. Okay. Yeah, okay, Ryan says, thanks for expanding. Love the movement, breath, and sound feedback. Yeah, definitely re-listen, Ryan. It will take as long as it takes to permanently release these habitual feelings of shame. Absolutely. But it's worth the effort. It is. It absolutely is. And it's not necessarily an overnight process sometimes. It does take time. And that's why we have tools that we use and we keep using them. Every time that shame spiral comes in, you know, or the unworthiness wound rears its head, we apply the tools. We apply the love. You tell yourself, I am doing the best I know how to do in this moment from my level of consciousness. When my consciousness is higher, then I will do better. And it's true. You can't do better than your level of consciousness in any given moment. You know, if you're not feeling well, your level of consciousness is probably not going to be as high as it would be if you were like in the middle of making love with your favorite person in the whole world, you know? It's just not. It's just, that's just the way it works. I mean, we have a set point. We all have a set point where we are basically all the time. But we can dip lower in moments and we can go even higher in other moments. And the work is to raise your consciousness so that your set point is always higher. And the way we do that is by applying love to all of these situations in our lives, by giving ourselves grace and forgiveness, and other people, giving them grace and forgiveness. Compassionate self-forgiveness is a great tool, and I mention it pretty often, because when you can say, I forgive myself for judging myself, for thinking I was doing something wrong when I was really doing the best I know how to do from my level of consciousness. And that is the truth. Like, you can't go wrong with that statement. That statement in itself is going to be very healing for all of this. It's one of the best things I ever learned in my studies of spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica. And compassionate self-forgiveness, honestly, it clears and it cleanses and it heals, as does a tool like the Ho'oponopono prayer. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Four simple words, and you say them whenever you think of them, and whenever you're, you know, confronted with something you're not too crazy about and you don't like, you just say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And you're just talking to your higher self. You're like, I'm sorry. I misunderstood this. Forgive me for my, you know, lack of higher consciousness in this moment. Thank you for being compassionate. I'm still learning, and I love you. That's really all it is. And it's again, cleansing and clearing. And when we do that, I do it all day long. Whenever I think about it, it literally cleanses and raises your consciousness. It cleanses your energy and your consciousness rises naturally. When you clean your energy, your consciousness can't help but rise. It just does it. You don't actually have to really do very much. You just have to be allowing and not in resistance. Being allowing of any situation that happens and knowing that it's actually for your highest good, even if it looks like crap and you don't like it, just understanding that it's there to help you in some way, and you'll probably find out what that is later. But even if you never do, still, it's there for your highest good in some way. So simply allowing a seemingly negative thing to just be for that moment doesn't mean you can't try and, you know, shift the energy. Of course you can. There are things you can do to change crappy situations, and you know, you probably should, but only when you feel called to do so. So the main thing is not to resist. Don't, you know, fight against, don't push against. Just allow it. And then when you're inspired, and you will be if you allow, if you're very allowing and accepting of situations, spirit will come in and shift the energy. Spirit will. But I have to make way for Serena. So on that note, let's go into the week not resisting anything and just being very allowing and changing what we can. You know, not fighting against, just... There's a difference between fighting against and moving toward, you know. You can be for something and not be against it. It's just a little bit of a different energy shift. And I wish I had more time to explain all of that, but I have done that in other shows. So let me make way for Serena, and she's coming up next at 11. And Catherine will be on with the Fresh 55 after Serena. So stick around. I will see you all next week. I am so happy you've all been here. I'm going to go check the chat just in case I missed anybody, and I'll respond in the chat if necessary. And I'm so happy you've all been here with me. I love you so much. See you next week. I am Lori the Love Sherpa, and you've been listening to me here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. Bye, everybody.